Let's begin with what is arguably the dominant geopolitical story shaping every other story today. Iran's Supreme Leader Khamenei is dead. His funeral procession is moving through Tehran with millions lining the streets. The country's airspace has been shut down, and the military establishment is making very loud, very public promises of revenge. To understand the stakes here, you have to understand what Khamenei's death means structurally for Iran. He held the role of supreme leader for over three decades. Every major Iranian state institution, the Revolutionary Guards, the judiciary, nuclear policy, foreign policy, ran through him. There is no obvious successor with comparable authority, and that power vacuum is extraordinarily dangerous in a moment when hardliners are whipping up public emotion.
The revenge rhetoric coming from military commanders needs to be taken seriously, but also contextualized carefully. Iranian hardliners have demanded revenge before, after the killing of Qasem Soleimani in 2020, for instance, and the actual response was calibrated, telegraphed in advance, and designed to allow face-saving rather than escalation. The question now is whether whoever emerges to consolidate power has the political sophistication to thread that needle again, or whether the combination of genuine grief, nationalist fervor, and internal factional competition pushes towards something more reckless.
And the economic ripple effects are already measurable. Bloomberg Economics published a projection this morning that the Iran conflict will keep global interest rates up to 0.5 percentage point above pre-conflict baselines through 2028. To put that in concrete terms, 0.5 percentage point on a 30-year U.S. mortgage translates to roughly $90 to $100 more per month on a $400,000 loan. Multiplied across every borrower in every country dealing with elevated central bank rates, that's a genuine tax on economic activity. And it compounds. Governments carrying debt pay more to service it. That crowds out spending on everything else.
The Strait of Hormuz convoy story illustrates exactly why the energy dimension of this conflict is so consequential. 10 Japan-linked ships, including 6 supertankers carrying 12 million barrels of crude oil, moved through the strait simultaneously, one of the largest coordinated convoy movements since the crisis began. Japan is heavily dependent on Middle Eastern oil. The fact that Japanese shipping interests felt the need to move in such a large, coordinated group tells you something about the perceived risk environment in that waterway. When major commercial actors start behaving as though military escort protocols are necessary for routine commodity shipments, the insurance costs alone begin distorting global trade.
There's also a Red Sea dimension here that connects to Iran's regional network. A cargo ship was attacked off the Yemen coast over the weekend. Houthi forces, who have maintained their Iran connection even through the conflict, continue to threaten commercial shipping through one of the world's most critical maritime corridors. The layering of Hormuz risk on top of Red Sea risk, on top of elevated interest rates, creates a compounding pressure on global supply chains that doesn't show up cleanly in any single headline.
And there's a sanctions angle that feeds into all of this. Data published recently showed that sanctioned nations moved $100 billion in cryptocurrency in 2025, an eightfold increase. That number reflects how quickly sanctioned states are developing alternative financial infrastructure. Iran has been at the center of sanctions evasion for years, and the crypto channel provides a degree of insulation from traditional financial pressure that makes the diplomatic toolkit less effective than it was a decade ago. Interestingly, Iran is also making what can only be described as unusual diplomatic overtures, offering Europe air conditioners in exchange for sanctions relief. It's almost a surreal detail, but it signals that there are factions within Iran that still prefer economic engagement over confrontation.
The air conditioner offer is genuinely interesting as a signal. You don't make that kind of trade offer if you're fully committed to a revenge escalation path. It suggests the Iranian government contains multitudes right now, hardliners demanding revenge and pragmatists trying to find economic off-ramps. The next 2 to 3 weeks, as a new leadership structure either consolidates or fractures, will be decisive.